Na dan so prišle informacije, da je skozi leta spreminjajoče se pod kralje popa bila samo krinka za še večji misterij. Michael Jackson, se je izkazalo, je namreč potomec nezemljanskega plemena Mama Sej, Mama Sa, Mama Makusa, ki so v svojem potovanju po galaksiji opravljali...
O, basla, kira sva štareca, šitej.
Jep. Vsak delovni dan v tednu, 5 minut čez 9 jutranjo, samo na Radiu Študent.
V današnji svaštarnici vam ponujamo del pogovora z Derekom Holcerjem, ki ta teden gostuje pri projektu Ator. V Smozi ravno kar izvaja delavnico, poimenovano Neandertalska elektronika, pri kateri gre za izdelovanje elektronskih zvočil na podlagi predmetov, ki jih lahko najdemo v našem okolju. V petek bodo udeleženci delavnice v Osmozi predstavili skupno kompozicijo, Holcer pa bo predstavil lastno delo z naslovom Vector Synthesis.
Holcer svojo prakso osnuje na izdelavi zvočil, ki ne upoštevajo pravil univerzalizacije, temveč sledijo odprtosti in individuaciji, oziroma individuaciji. Zakaj sledi takšnemu načelu? Pa izvemo zdajle.
One of the things that I'm always trying to teach people is that the easier a tool makes it for you to kind of instantly make art, the more you're engaging in a collaboration with the engineer who provided that set of possibilities, or the software author that set up that environment for you. It's like you've walked into a room and all the you know, or you've walked into a room and all the tools are in the right place on the table or something like that, and the tools already suggest or enforce a certain sort of an order. This is something that comes up a lot when you start to deal with the kind of the archaeology of media. You start to look at why tools and technology were created, and you start to see what sort of order they were designed to reinforce and what sort of results they were designed to produce.
Ali so pravila tehnologije oziroma inštrumentov vezana na družbeno prakso, ki jo Holcer tudi sicer raziskuje na področju medijske arheologije?
The tools of electronic music come out of some very specific contexts, and the genres that those tools are designed to reinforce over and over and over again have very fixed rules, actually. And most of those rules were created by hardware engineers in Japan in the late 1970s and the early 1980s, when their bosses told them that they had to design these kind of metronome pattern generators so that musicians that played, so-called real instruments could practice with these robots playing these things over and over again. So somewhere in Japan, the next 30 plus years of electronic music history was already being written when it was being, embedded in these devices that people have used for, most of the 80s, and then from the 90s on tried to imitate by, making software versions of them.
Za Holcerjeva dela bi lahko rekli, da so del interaktivne umetnosti. Kaj pa sam misli o popularnosti te struje in žanra v glasbenih in umetniških institucijah?
It's project or something like that. I think that it's just another way of communicating. This idea of interactive art has been big for a long time, but I mean that started in the, the 70s and the 80s, and especially if you look at these really early interactive pieces that they have, like, I don't know, at ZKM in Karlsruhe or something like that, you have these things that have big buttons on them, and then you push the button and then the machine kind of acknowledges you by showing you a video or changing the slide or flashing a light or giving you a sound. It gives you like this reward, and once you figured out the gimmick, then you've experienced the piece, right? You waved your hands in the right way and then the machine, made a smiley for you or something like that. So the level of interaction between the person and that interactive machine is very low level to start with. But the communication between that person and the artist who made it is almost non-existent. The artist has already kind of delivered their thing and it's done. It's there and people push a button and get a balloon pops or something crazy like that. And so much of this kind of electronic works that you see right now still work on that paradigm of like kind of stimulus response, stimulus response, stimulus response. But once you've figured out the trick, it's not, you move on to the next piece. And I'm much more interested in this idea of something being participatory, having more of a duration, and having a more intimate and deep connection between the participant and the person who's facilitating the situation. I don't even want to start thinking about that in terms of like artist and audience anymore. I want to think about it in terms of people experiencing things together in a situation.
Holzer bo v petek v Osmozi torej predstavil tudi lastno delo Visual Synthesis, audiovizualno delo osnovano na principih vektorske umetnosti, sicer pa gre za metodo, na podlagi katere se iz istega vira generira tako zvok kot sliko. Kako pa to delo razume sam Holzer?
Synthesis, yeah, the vector synthesis is, it's been the project that I've worked on for the last 2.5 years. I actually just finished writing a thesis paper about it for Aalto University in Helsinki. And the kind of culmination of that thesis research, kind of a few things came out of it. One was that there's a software library that I developed that allows people to create audiovisual vector graphics that you can display on things like lasers and old game consoles and laser displays. And that's something that's released out into the public, and I'm constantly kind of working with that and doing workshops and, you know, revisiting it and using it in my own work. And another was a very large conference that we did together with Aalto here, and also the Radio Nitsa in Zagreb, and the main coordinator of this project was Ivan Marušić-Klif, and it was called Vector Hack. That was a really exciting project because I think a lot of the people doing this stuff were kind of working a little bit in isolation. We'd all talk to each other on the internet, kind of shared tricks and tips and tech stuff and this sort of thing. But to kind of get us together in one room, the synergy was great, and so much kind of new ideas and new connections came out of it. It was really quite exciting.
Glasbenikovo delo bi sicer najlažje umestili v splošno polje audiovizualnih umetnosti. Kaj pa sam znotraj tega polja razume kot najpomembnejše?
Kind of in a history of electronic music, I think electronically generated visuals have always been really important to it. And you had this kind of VJ era for a long time where one person would open up their little laptop and make some sounds, and another person would open up their little laptop and show some video behind the person making some sounds. And maybe there was a conversation there, maybe there wasn't. Sometimes they would just go in two completely different directions. They were two very distinct units. And then people started to think how they could work these two aspects of things together. For example, data visualization and data sonification is a really interesting area that a lot of people are working in right now, where you would take, I don't know, global temperatures over the last 100 years or something, and you get these kind of curves of data out of them that then you could apply to both sound and image at the same time, for example. And for me, I've always been interested in the last option, which is that the sound and image are actually unified. You're actually looking at the same exact signal, just manifested by two different means. When I say that, what I'm talking about is this electronic signal that, in the case of loudspeakers, you have this voltage. It goes up and down, and it goes to a speaker, and the speaker moves back and forth, and it pushes these little puffs of air across the room, and they hit the side of your head and they go through this little hole, and some magic happens in there with some vibrations and some electricity that makes you hear these things, which is really, if I was a religious person, I would say it's a miracle, but no, it's just evolution. That's how it works. And for me, it's a kind of a unified, it's a unified phenomenon. There's a lot of talk about how things can be synesthetic, how they can kind of provoke through one sense a feeling of having another sense. You can taste the color red, or you can smell, you know, the A minor chord or something like that. But you don't have to think about the relationship between the things. They just come to you like that. And also, they're not symbolic. I'm really not interested in using symbols to represent things. I'm not really interested in saying, oh, this represents global warming, or this represents capitalism, or this represents the patriarchy or something, using these kind of big symbols that we want to address topics with. I really prefer working in a much more abstract way, where people can pull their own meanings out of it. And And giving them these kind of direct audiovisual stimuli are really important ways of doing that, letting them kind of access parts of their brain, usually very like non-linear, not logical thinking, parts of the brain, and kind of evoking sensations out of that a little bit.
And now, what's new?
V svaštarniškem komadu vam tokrat ponujemo ruskega producenta Weird Ass Elektronike, ki sliši na ime Bad Techno. Širši javnosti je najverjetneje najbolj znan kot producent spremne glasbe za modne revije Goše Robčinski. Bad Techno, trenutno za rusko založbo Ghost Zvuk, pripravlja EP Swamp Tracks, s katerega bomo poslušali komad Acid Techno Project 1.
Now, what's new?
Yeah, not going out, not staying in, just hanging around with my head in a spin. But there is no need to scream and shout. We're not going out, we are not going out.
Edini koncertni izhod, ki vam ga lahko priporočimo za danes, so Kjartan and the Head Head v hostlu Celica. V Budimpešti nastanjena zasedba preigrava energičen gypsy jazz in tradicionalne mačarske viže. Torej, poskočno in etno. Današnjo svaštarnico je pripravila Špela Cvetko.
Svaštarnica, jutranja rubrika, kjer za vas prebiramo novice iz sveta glasbe, zavrtimo kakšen komad in predlagamo kakšno koncertno doživetje. Samo na Radiu Študent.